want to add 2 points to what we said last week on the Gemara Nachshon Beis in Shabbos. Bram Zohar Osesh Latov V'Chananya Ben Chizki Yashmo Shel Molei Hu Nigna Sefi Yechezkel Shehoyu Omo Shehoyu Dvorov Sosrim Divrei Torah. Okay. So that Chazal, we explained that it means that there can never be Dvorma Sosrim. There can't be something that Sosr, Divrei Navi, cannot be Sosr, the Dvar Hashem from Sefer Torah Moshe. So, and if there is something that's also, so it has to simply be removed. It has to be Nignaz. Who determines whether there is a steer or not? So we said the Balei Masora determine whether there's a steer. So if the Balei Masora, for the Balei Masora is a steer, so then it has to be Nignaz. I just wanted to cite the Rashi. See, Rashi says an interesting thing over here. Rashi says that it says Ma'aseh. So what did he do? Helalo gimel meos garve shemen, 300 bottles of oil. The yoshav ba'aliyah v'darshan. So Rashi says a strange thing. Rashi says darshan. This is a Shabbat gimel beis. Rashi says k'darshin lahani kroy b'menachas. Just like we darshan these pesukim in menachas. The mishum de ishtri malika b'chata sa'of gabayu. Hutzrach la'azhiram amulikas chulim. Okay, so I'm not going to go in too much into the details of the halacha, but I just want to cite the basic Gemara, which is really Rashi's citing this Gemara is difficult because the Gemara is in Menachos Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph. The Gemara says like this. the Gemara is a kasha. So one is kasha from Yecheskel. That seemed to be Sosa Divrei Torah. So Rashi's quoting the second case, where it says, the Gemara says, V'chol Mevelo Trefa, it's a Pasuk in Yecheskel, Min Ha'of Min Ha'Behema, V'yoklo Akohanim. Okay? So the implication is that Kohanim Udlo Yochlu, the Kohanim should need it, Ho Yisrael Achli. It's mashma that Jews, ordinary Jews, can eat Mevelo Trefa. So it's Sosa Divrei Torah. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Parsha Zu Eliyo Asid L'Darsha. So Rabbi Yochanan said that this Parsha, only Eliyo Navi will be able to explain to us. Ravina Amar Kohanim Estrichalei. Ravina answers, says, why? Sal Kedai Techamino Oel V'Ishtri Malika L'Gabayu Tishtri Nami Nevelu Trefa Kamash Malan. So he says, no. He says that that since Malika is Muta by Kohanim, Malika Sa'ov, and Malika is Nevela Lagaba Yisrael, so you might think that the halacha of Malika is a mater and Nevela Trefa for Kohanim. Kamash Malan, no, it's not true. Okay. It's not a matir. They have an Issa Nevela and Trefa as well, but Malika is Malika for them is equal to Shechita. Okay, separate halacha, Malika equal to Shechita. Alright, so Rashi's citing that Gemara. So Rashi, now right on that same daf, the Gemara says later, Amar Avinu Marav, Zohar Osa Ish Latova, Chanina Ben Chizki Yishma, Shomoli Hun Migna Sefi Yecheskel, Shere Dvar Sosim Devei Torah. Ma Osa Helo Shosh Mez Gavi Shem Vyesh Vali Vedosh, the same as over here. So what is Rashi saying when Rashi says that he darshened it that way? It doesn't make any sense, because if he darshened it that way, so why did they have a machlekes lay? What did Rabbi Yochanan say? Amar Rabbi Yochanan parshizu eliyo wasu ledarsho. You see, why did he say that? Because he should have known the drash from Chanina ben Chizkiya, if that's where Chanina ben Chizkiya darshened. So what was the machlekes there? What was the question? In other words, Rashi's reference to the Gemara Menachos doesn't seem to be correct, because when the Gemara Menachos doesn't say that Chanina ben Chizkiya darshened it that way, it says that Rabbi Yochanan said Parsha Zu Eliyo Asu L'Darsha. He doesn't know the pshat, and Ravina gave that pshat. So if Chanina ben Chizkiya gave the pshat, so why did Rabbi Yochanan say Parsha Zu Eliyo Asu L'Darsha? And so apparently he didn't give that pshat. So why is Rashi citing the Gemara Menachos? The Gemara Menachos is not saying that at all. He's not saying that he darshened it that way. Yeah. But you see, the way we explain the Gemara, it comes out what Rashi says is correct. Why? Because the Gemara says the same thing before. The Gemara Menachos Daf Mem Hamanach. The Gemara says, Ko Ama Hashem Elokim, another pasuk in Yecheskel. Barishon be'echod lachodesh tikach pa'ben bakar tomim v'chitek tzatan migdash. So he says that Barishon be'echod lachodesh, it means on Rosh Chodesh. So in Rosh Chodesh, you should take a par ben bakar, and you should v'chiteis v'asam migdash. So the Gemara says, chantos v'chiteis v'asam migdash. You're saying it's a chantos, olahi. It's really an olah, because on Rosh Chodesh, you makiv, you mean, on Rosh Chodesh, you makiv olos. Okay? Rosh Chodesh, you don't think, olah Hashem. Par ben bakar shnayim v'ayalechot. So the par Rosh Chodesh is an olah. So how could Yecheskel say it's a chantos? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sam Rabbi Yochanan, Parsha Zu Eliyo Asud L'Darsha. Now Rashi says, what does it mean Eliyo Asud L'Darsha? Rashi says he adds. Interesting. It doesn't seem you have to add anything. It seems obvious. Eliyo will explain to us. No, Rashi says, Da Ache Yavo Eliyo V'Yefarshen Alanu Ein Onu Yodin L'Darsha. Interesting. What is Rashi emphasizing? Rashi's emphasizing it's not that Rabbi Yochanan says that we're looking forward to Eliyahu Navi coming to explain the pasuk. No. He's saying something more. He's saying that until that time, we cannot darshan. We do not know how to darshan this pasuk. The Gemara says, Rav Ashi amar mimui mikrivu b'mei Ezra, kider Rashi mikrivu b'mei Moshe. That this was separate kabanos of miluim. And that's why it was a chatas. He wasn't speaking about the ordinary kabanos. That you mock from Rosh Chodesh, which is an olah. So Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hachi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Parshizu Eliyo Asad L'Dorsha. Same thing. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Brisa. Rabbi Yehuda said that Parshizu Eliyo Asad L'Dorsha. Amalor Rabbi Yossi, Miluim Mikrivu B'nei Ezra, Kadesh Mikrivu B'nei Moshe. Same exact thing. Yamarim was saying the same exact, they had the same exact debate as the Tanayim had, the Brisa. So the Gemara says, so when Rabbi Yossi said that, so the Brisa says, Amalo, Rabbi Yehuda says, Tanuach Daitcha. He says, your mind should be at rest. Sheinachta Daiti. Because you put my mind at rest. You see? So what does it mean? So what does it mean? It means like this. According to what we explained, the Gemara fits in very well. And Rashi fits in also very, very well. Why? Because we'll see what Rashi emphasizes that he says Eliyo Asul Darsha. So Rashi says the Anche Yavo Eliyo V'Farshen Alanu Ain Onu Yodin L'Darsha. That's the important thing is we don't know how to darshan it. So when he said that we don't know how to darshan it, so now the sefer became in jeopardy because they were the Balei Masora, and Rabbi Yochanan was saying we don't know how to darshan it. So the Gemara says we have the same thing in the Brisa that. One Tana said, Rabbi Yehuda said, Parshas Eliyahu Asul Darsha. He also said that we cannot dash this pasuk. So Rabbi Yossi said, no, it's very simple. It means miluim. And then so I said to him, Tanuach Daitcha Sheinachta Daiti. That's what it means. It means because you said that we can't darshan it. So if you can't darshan it, so then we have a problem. We have to put in the Balei Masorah have a problem because it has to go into Geniza. So when he told him the Luan, he said, Tanur Daitcha Sheinachta Daiti means, now I'm at rest because we don't have a problem with Sefer Yecheskel, you see? And then the Gemara, that's really what the Gemara is saying. So you see, the concept is that, of course, Yecheskel at the time that he wrote it was a Navi Emes, and he understood what he wrote. But you see from the Gemara that if the Balei Amasora cannot explain it, so then it has to go into Geniza. And that was the dialogue between the Tanoim. So one of the questions that they had was the question of Chol Nevelo Trefim and Ofman of Hemelo Yochla Kahanim. It's after we say also. At the end of the last Paschim, I want after it. Yochla Kahanim. Kahanim with Lo Yochla Yisrael Achli. Amr B'yachim Pasha Zuh Ali Yosef Dosher. Rabbi Noma. Kahanim it's Trefalei. Saka Bethim Yehol Vishnim Malika Legabayu Tishri Nam Nevelo Trefa. Kamash Malat. So that's what Rashi's saying. Rashi's saying it's the same exact thing as the Gemara and Menachos. In other words, the same, but in the time of Hanina ben Chizkiah, That's what Rashi's saying. Rashi's saying in Shabbos, the Hanina ben Chizkiya accomplished the same thing. It doesn't mean that he darshan the same drasha. He says, darshan, kididashin ilhani kwa ben menachas. He means he did the exact same thing, because that was the exact same situation. And we don't know the answers of Hanina ben Chizkiya, but he went and he darshaned them, and he gave the answers. And Rashi says, similar to the Gemara Menachos, where in the time of Rabbi Yochanan and Ravina, they had the same question, and he gave the answers. So Rashi is just citing, that's what Rashi's showing you. He's showing you the Gemara Menachos to show that Gemara shows you that they had this problem, and if the Bali and Masora can't answer it, so then it's a serious problem, and then we have to deal with the problem of Geniza. So he said, so I told him to Nuach Adaitcho, Shehinachta Adaiti. So Rashi simply citing the Gemara Menachos, because that's really the whole sugin of the Gemara Menachos. So Rashi, that's what Rashi emphasized over there, the Adche Yavo Eliyahu, Einan Yodim Adarsha. Which is a serious problem, because we don't know how to darshan it, and they were the Bali and Masara, so then you have to put it into Geniza. So that's exactly what the Rashi's saying, and that's the answer to the Rashi. Rashi's not telling you that he darshan it, that we don't know how he darshan it, but Rashi's telling you in every door, the Bali and Masara have to know how to darshan it. And that's why in the door of Rabbi Yochanan they had the same problem. And the Gemara gave, and the Gemara says that the, that Ravina answered it. So Rashi's just telling you that that's the exact same thing with Hanina ben Chizkiya. And that's what the Gemara mentions also, Bram Zachor Lishatov, the Hanina ben Chizkiya Shmar Gemara mentions the Malchus too. Because that is the whole, that's the whole underlying idea of the Sugya. The underlying idea of the Sugya is that there cannot be a Dvorim Divrei Navi Shesosim Divrei Torah. That's an impossibility. And the sphere is measured by whom? It's measured by the Bali and Masara. That's Rashi's reference. Rashi's, that's the same sugya. Rashi's making a reference. You want to understand what it means, it's the same exact sugya as the sugya in Menachos. And over there, Ravina gave an answer. And because of that, they were able to maintain Sefer Yecheskel in that door. And the Gemara is just saying that Hanina ben Chizkiya did the same thing in his door. So I just wanted to point that out. That really explains the whole sugya over there in Menachos stuff, Memhei Amar Aleph. All right, it's a well-known sugya. That's what Rashi's saying. That's the explanation. Okay.
Rebbe?
Yes.
If you only had Rebbe Yochanan, they would have been Gonizot?
It would seem so. If you only, yes, it would seem so. That's what Rashi emphasizes. Rashi says, Eliyo osu l'darsha, ein onu yodim, Rashi says, pirish, she ein onu yodim l'darsha. What is Rashi saying? He's saying we're in trouble, basically. We're in trouble. That's what Rashi's saying. That's exactly what Rashi's saying. Because what did Rashi add? Because the Gemara says clearly that when Eliyahu Navi comes, he'll be able to dash it. So what? So fine. So who cares? He says, no, the Archie of the Lord Fashion ain't on the Yodim of Darsha. So Rashi says, we're in trouble. See, we're in trouble. So that's why Rashi over here in Shabbos cites the Gemara over there. Because that's the very sugya. So Ravina basically accomplished, did the same thing that Hanina ben Chizkiya did. But Hanina ben Chizkiya's accomplishment, you can't take away from him, because at his door, he saved Sefer Yecheskel. And the same thing happened later in the door of Samarayim. But you can't have the Divrei Navi Sosrim Divrei Torah. You see, the Rambam in the Halacha brings down the same the answer, that Milul Masubi Me'ezra. He brings down the same answer from the Gemara. Okay.
Was it enough for Rabbi Yochanan to know that the Hanina...
No, it's not enough. That's what I'm telling you. It's not enough. You can't have that. The Bali and Masora cannot, because then you could have said that Yecheskel himself knew. Like Danny said, Yecheskel would have given said something at the source of the Ritara, so Navi Sheker, Chayav Misa. So you can't say that. So obviously Yecheskel knew and they understood when he said it. But the problem was later. The problem was, what do you do later? You have Divrei Navi, and which is part of the system of the Kisrei Kaddish, and you can't have something in the system that's also Divrei Torah. So the same thing happened later. That's what Rashi says. Kiddashinin. That's what exactly Rashi means. Kid, just like we dashin over there, Kiddashinin Lani Kroy Ben Menachos. Because on the surface, what do you mean? Kiddashinin Lani Kroy Ben Menachos. Menachos is a machlokes. And he's saying that he already solved the problem. So what does Mikdashin and Kroyim Machis? If he solved the problem, so what do you have Machlekes with Rabbi Yochanan over there, Rabbi Yochanan Ravina? But Rashi is saying that's the same sugya over there, Menachas. They had the same exact problem, but Hanina ben Chizkiah in his door saved Sefer Yechezkel, and Ravina did the same thing in the door of Rabbi Yochanan.
And then once you have Stimas Hashas, the volume, that's it.
Once you have Stimas Hashas, that's it.
That's it.
So that's the end of the Matiki Ashmor. Okay, yeah, that's Rashi is clear. Otherwise, Rashi simply doesn't make any sense because Rashi's citing Gemara where it's a machlekes, and it's not the case of Chanina. If Chanina and Chizkiah Dashnus, what's the machlekes of Yefen and Ravina? But it's not a machlekes, actually. Because you see in the Brisa as well, that he answered him that he said to him that Tanuach Daitcha Shei Nachtar Daiti. That's what it means. Because we would have had a problem with Sefer Yechezkel. We would have to consider putting Sefer Yechezkel in Geniza.
Really?
He says, no, Inach does Daiti. Yeah.
Ravina and Yochanan were quite a distance apart in time. Does that mean it was Gunas for 100 years or so?
No, it's not Gunas. Because it's only if it's a steer. So, you don't just go Gonez. If you don't have a steer, you're not Gonez. But if you open up the Sefer and you find the steer, and they were learning the Sefer. So they learned the Sefer, they found the steer. That's the problem. Excuse me?
Ravina found the steer, but Ravina didn't come up with an answer until much later, 100 years later. Ravina was a late generation Amora. Ravina was a second generation.
Yeah, but the Gemara has a brisa from before. The Gemara is a brisa. Yeah. As a brisa. So Rabbi Yochanan said, I mean, during the interim, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the history of it. But that's the figure. The history of it, I don't know. Whether they had an answer in between, but apparently, if there is a steer, it requires Geniza. It could be that Rabbi Yechanan, the Gemara is just quoting Rabbi Yechanan. But there was a Brisa, you see, there was a Brisa that was before Rabbi Yechanan had an answer. The Gemara quotes a Brisa from before, because the Brisa was Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said the same thing as Rabbi Yechanan, Parshu Aliyo Asa Ladarsha. So Amal Rabbi Yossi, Malun, Kruven Mei Ezra, Kadarsha, Kruven Mei Moshe. So you see, the answer was in the Brisa already. But apparently they had the answer. But Rabbi Yechon nevertheless made the statement. But all Rashi is showing you is with a concept behind the statement. The concept behind the statement is that if the Balei Masorah have a stira, then they have to work on it. Okay. There's one other thing I want to mention, and that is that it says that he went up to an aliyah and he darshened it. He went up into an attic and took up 300 bottles of oil and he darshened it. So I mean, why do you have to go up to the attic? I mean, everything is usually done in the Beis Hamedrash. I mean, you sit and learn the Beis Hamedrash. So what's this idea of going up to an attic? I mean, what's the concept of going up into an attic and darshaning? I mean, you bring it to the Beis Medrash and you discuss it. You have a problem, so discuss it. Topol Chaverim, I mean, there's Memchas Dorm Shatar Niknis Bohem. So I mean, there's many, there are ways that we deal with halachic issues. Why did he single out a different kind of a method of going up into an attic with 300 bottles of oil and dashing it? Yeah. So, it's an unusual thing. So, what I want to say is like this, that there are two types of limud. There's a limud where a person engages freely in Talmud Torah in the pursuit of knowledge. So there, the Talmid HaChachamim, I mean, that's the preoccupation. The preoccupation was Talmud Torah. So then Malacha was Zaroi, and the limud was keva. So most of the day he spent in the Beis HaMedrash, and they discussed the Ritter. That's the normal pursuit of the Ritter, clarification of the ideas, pursuing limud, limud Torah l'shma, pursuing limud for the sake of limud itself. Okay? That's the normal pursuit of Talmud Torah. But sometimes a person is confronted with a situation that because of a certain situation, a task befalls him. That he has to do something to save the Masorah. That's a different kind of a limud. You see, that's a limud which is initiated not by the normal course of limud Torah l'shma. Not under the normal course of our Rav Nader Shem Lakenu with Divrei Torah Eskol Tzinik Fifshahos Amcha Beis Yisrael Vani Anachdu Tzatzainu Yodei Shmech Olam Shesech L'Shma. That's the normal pursuit of Talmud Torah. That's loss of the Divrei Torah. But sometimes a situation occurs where the Mesorah is in jeopardy, and an individual is on a very high level, is motivated, that's like Ruach HaKodesh, is motivated to act in a certain way, is single-minded to save the Masorah. That's a different kind of a situation. In such a situation, the individual has to remove himself from society and has to remove himself from all distractions and simply engage in the activity that becomes known to him, and it's a different kind of a limud, and he can't ask other people to join him. You see, it's not a matter of bringing it into the Beis HaMedrash. It only befalls a certain individual who's on the level that he perceives deeply the problem. And the significance of the Masorah is very strong in his mind, and he devotes himself exclusively to resolving that issue. And that's really Ruach HaKadosh. So a person that is in that situation, it's not a situation that he can share with his chaverim. On the contrary, it's a single-minded effort for a specific purpose of ensuring the Masorah, of saving the Masorah. Only the individual who's on that level is involved. And then he has to simply remove himself from the rest of society and concentrate all his efforts on that limud. That's why the Gemara says, Bram Zohar Oso Ish Latov. He's Zohar Latov because he was a unique individual. He was on a very high level. And he was the one that sensed and realized and was on the level where he can concentrate all his efforts in pursuit of this one objective. And he removed himself from society and he concentrated on accomplishing through limud the saving of the Masorah and of Sefer Yecheskel. That's a unique situation. A separate eschivos, where a person senses that the door is in a certain situation, or that the Masorah is in jeopardy, and he has to concentrate all his efforts on saving the Masorah. It's a unique phenomenon. It's not something that it's not the ordinary pursuit of Divrei Talmud Torah. The ordinary pursuit of Talmud Torah is in the Beis HaMedrash. But when a person senses that there is a very important issue that he has to resolve because of the sake of the Masorah, for the sake of Klal Yisrael, through Limud, that's a very individual phenomenon. And the one that is the one one that is engaged in that is singled out, and he has to concentrate all his efforts and remove himself from society. That's the Bram Zohar Osir Yishlatov. He's Zohar Latov because he was a very unique individual, and he was the one that sensed and took on the obligation, knew that he was the one that should do it, and he removed himself from all kinds of distractions from all the society until he resolved the issue. That's
Rabbi,
a unique phenomenon, a unique kind of a situation, yes.
Would you say that the Gra had adopted a similar technique?
The Gra, I don't know. I mean, it could be. It's possible. But I would say the Rambam definitely adopted that technique. Because Rambam says in his Agama, he says, that's what the Rambam says. It was manazeh tukfuat tzara shiseros, v'doch krashoa tzakol, v'ovdo chokmas chachameinu, u'binas nevoneinu nistra. He says, l'fichoch osum apirushim v'alochos v'atshuvo shechibro agonim, v'ro shem dvar mevorm niskasha b'yameinu. V'ein mevin in yoneim karoi, ela ma'at b'nispar. V'ein tzarech lama agmar atma, pavlus v'yishalmas, v'sefro v'sefrit v'sefta, שאם צריכים דעש וחוב ונפש וחומו, הוא זמן אורך, ואחר כך יודע מהם הדרך הנכונה. יהיה, בדבר מעשו אותו, משור דיני התורה, היכו. ומבני זר, רמצז, נוערתי חצני, אני משה בן מיימן הספרדי, ונשענתי על הצור ברוך הוא, ובינוסי בכל אלו הספורים, וראיסי לחבר דבורים המסברים, מכל אלו החיבורים בעניין האוסף המותר, התומי והתור, הם שעור דיני התורה. כולם בלשם גרור ודרך קצורה, עד שתהתר שבל פה כולו, סדור בפי הכל, בלא קושי ולא פירוק. לא זה עומר בכל וזה עומר בכל. אלא דברים ברורים, קרובים נכונים על פי המשפט, אשר יסבוער מכל אלו החיבורים והפירושים הנמצואים ממוס רבינו הקודש ועד עכשיו. עד שיהיו כל הדברים גלויים לקוטן ולגודל, בין כל מצווה ומצווה, ובין כל הדברים שתיקנו חכמים ונביאים. לא לא של דבר, כדי שלא יהיה אדם צורך לחיבור אחר בעולם, בדין מדיני ישראל, אלא יהיה חיבור זה מקבץ התורה שבו פה כולו הם התקונס ומנהוגס והגזירה שנעשה, מימוס משה רבינו ועד חיבור הגמורה, וכמו שפירש לנו הגאונים, בכל חיבוריהם שחיבור אחר הגמורה. לפיכל קרוסי שם החיבור זה משנתה. That's what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is saying the same thing occurred to him, that he realized that that's what the Rambam says, that's what he means. When he says, no'arti chutzni, it means he shook out his, it's an expression from Nechemia, he shook out his garb, and v'nishanti ala tzur baruch hu, v'nosi b'cholev asfarim. So it means the Rambam, that's exactly what the Rambam was saying. The same thing like Bram Zohar Asur Yishlatov, that he recognized that this is a special situation, it's an unusual time, the burden of the whole Masorah fell on his shoulders, and he had to preoccupy himself exclusively with being Mechaber, the Yad HaChazaka. So you see, that's from this Gemara, basically, that there is such a phenomenon, that an individual comes to the realization that he has to concentrate all his efforts because of the situation in order to save the Masorah, and that's a special kind of limud. That's a special kind of limud.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
That explains why Ravina and Ravashi were not praised that way, because it came from the Beis Medrash.
That's correct. That's good. That's correct. That's very good. That's very good. Good writer. That's good writer. Because they were simply discussing in the Beis Medrash. Ravina and Ravashi. Yeah, that's correct.
Ready?
Yeah.
There's another instance where they formulated halachas be'aliyah. It's the halachas of Yarod Val-Yavor.
Yes.
They were also formulated be'aliyah.
It was also because of the Shoah, because it was a special time.
Either a special time or the halacha requires special attention.
That's correct. Yeah, you mean the Mishnah?
Yeah,
that's right. Yitzchak Zvon goes with Bobi Yom. That's correct.
Yeah.
That was the Mishnah because this was a serious question over there. Baal Aminyan, the Nimtzah Shemeshna. Yeah, that's correct. That you're right. That's the concept of Baaliyah. The concept of Baaliyah is that sometimes the situation is such that the Masorah is in jeopardy, and an individual. individual has to come along, or individuals, and concentrate their efforts, remove themselves from all distraction, and concentrate their efforts. That's why the Biskarov said that the. Now, if you look at the Rambam, from the Rambam, it's evident it was written with the Ruach HaKodesh. That's the Ruach HaKodesh, because the Rambam explains in the Maor Avochim that Ruach HaKodesh is where an individual falls under the sway of a certain imperative that's necessary in order to save the Torah. And when he does this kind of an action, so he has assistance. And this assistance, the assistance that he receives is called Ruach HaKadosh. He does things beyond his abilities. It's a special kind of a situation. It's not the ordinary situation of the Beis HaMedrash. And that's the same thing, that's exactly what the Rambam says. Okay, I just wanted to mention it. All right. Go back to the Gemara and the Flamed Amud Beis. We were in the middle of the Agadah. Yeah. So, we did the Tov Kastis. Yes?
Shabbos,
yeah. Flamed Amud Beis. Yeah. Okay. Tov kas shekoes hakadosh baruch hu latzadikim b'olam hazeh mischok shemisrael hakadosh baruch hu shem b'olam hazeh. Okay, so the Gemara really takes up two points. It's interesting. The two points are central points. One is the role of schok and the role of kas, and the Gemara explains. The safer of Tehelis, which is really the safer of human psychology, not philosophy, but psychology. Philosophy is the Torah has all the philosophy. But psychology was Shlomo Melech, was Tehelis. So he shows that psychologically the frustration of the tzaddik gives him more psychological enjoyment in his lifetime, in spite of the frustration, than the schok of the Russia who has good days during his lifetime. Okay. So psychologically, the Russia, he appears as if he's happier, but that's only on the surface. Really, if you'd add up the psychological pleasure, you'd find that the tzaddik, the tzaddik who goes through frustration has a greater psychological enjoyment in this existence. Okay. Now the Gemara takes up the next topic.
Can I just ask you a question on that, what you said on that?
Yes, go.
Because last week you said that this is basically talking about the Russia in versus tzaddik and Olam Hazeh.
Well, no, I want that.
The only thing Rashi says is Tardon in Olam Haba.
I know, I explained that. Because Rashi's explaining why God does it. You see? The table of the Gemara. Tov kasha koeis HaKadosh Baruch Hu ala tzadikim ba'olam hazeh mischok shemesachek HaKadosh Baruch Hu ala roshoyim ba'olam hazeh. All Rashi's explaining is why God does it. You see? So Rashi says, where's Rashi? Rashi says, That's one reason. We explained last week what the two are. One is because of justice, the pasuk says Kol Ruach of Mishpat, Hakol Matzdikin Es Dino. Russia doesn't have any complaints because he got for whatever he did, he received what he wanted. So in terms of the subjective, even the subjective framework of the Russia has to be matzdikas adin. That's one. Well, the Torah domin olam abba means that to make sure that he does not, that's the derech shadam rotzo lelech malich naso. That once the individual chooses, that the reality conforms to his choice. And that's mishpat, and nothing deters him. So on the contrary, God supplies him with his illusions and his fantasies. God supplies him with his illusions and his fantasies. that's what he wanted, and that was his bechira, and that's justice. That's bederach shodom rotz lelech melech masa. But Rashi's just explaining why God does it. You see. But the pasuk is saying, what is tov? The Gemara is talking about tov. What is better? Tov kash yakoyes kodesh baruch hu. Mischok shemesachek yakoyes baruch hu l'shem balamata. That is the psychological phenomenon. You understand? Because Kehelis is a psychology, so the Gemara is olam hazeh. You see, so the Gemara sticks to olam hazeh. Okay? Okay. So now, let's go a little further. It says, the Lishok omarti maholo. Okay? I'm sorry. Simcha. I'm sorry, excuse me. Vishibachti anias a simcha. Okay, that's the next piece of Gemara. So the Gemara says that that was one of the steers, right? Because on the one hand, he said, "Ksiv v'shibachti ani asa simcha, uksiv l'simcha mazo osa." So what is the contradiction? What is simcha? Simcha is basically what everybody's looking for. Simcha is what we call happiness. Aristotle says the goal of all human life is happiness. So happiness is the goal that everybody is looking for. That's it. So Shlomo HaMelech expressed himself in a contradictory fashion when it came to this ultimate objective of human existence. On the one hand, he said, "Vishibachti ani es simcha." Simcha is a wonderful thing. Okay, which would seem, and again, from a psychological framework, he's saying that would seem to make sense. That simcha, after all, I mean, what does a person want in this existence? He wants happiness. So happiness is the ultimate objective and goal. So it's wonderful. Vishibachti ani es simcha. Makes perfect sense. But then he contradicts himself and he says, it was simcha mazo osa. And happiness, what does it do for you? What is the contradiction? What do you mean happiness? What does it do for you? That's the goal of all human existence is happiness. Yeah. So apparently when he flips back and he says, it was simcha mazo osa, he's saying that happiness cannot be the goal because the happiness, it's not possible. You see, l'simcha mazo osa is an argument against happiness because he's saying even if a person wants happiness, you see, now happiness, when it comes to happiness, the psychologist is right. Everybody else in the world is wrong and the psychologist is right. Why? Because everybody else in the world, if you ask them, how do you become happy, what's the road, what road will lead you to happiness, so you'll find, and that's the preoccupation of mankind from time immemorial, and of course in this generation as well. I mean, just look around, articles, magazines, papers, everywhere you turn, there's always someone that will try to tell you, give you advice about happiness, because bottom line is everybody knows, or senses at least, that this is the ultimate objective of man. But there's a machlokes here between the psychologist and between the rest of the world. The rest of the world maintains or tries to give you advice on how to achieve happiness through particular modes of endeavor. One will say you should be successful in business, another person will say you should become an artist, another person should say that you should retire and play golf, and there's all kinds of advice about happiness. But basically, they're all wrong, and only the psychologist is right. Because the psychologist gets down to the core of the issue. And the core of the issue is that happiness ultimately has to be something that no matter what extraneous means you use, but ultimately it has to be a state, a psychological state in the human mind. So I don't care whether you want to be a car racer or whether you want to be a real estate tycoon or you want to be a successful surgeon. It doesn't matter what the particular route you're choosing. The psychologist says that everything ultimately boils down to psychology. And therefore, if you can find out, if you can discover what the underlying formula in the psyche, in the dynamics of the mind, the underlying formula for happiness is, you can do away with all these things. All these things are only means. And if you happen to choose a means, if you think that the route to happiness is wealth, for instance, So that's not true, because whatever wealth does, all it can do is affect a certain something in your mind. And that certain something is the thing that gives you the happiness, not the wealth. It's not the object. It's the state that the object creates. So therefore, if the rest of the world, the psychologist maintains that the world is really making a big mistake, because they're pursuing objects, they're pursuing things. It's not things that you have to pursue here. It really is a state of mind that you're looking for. If a person, and that's why people go to psychologists, because what they're looking for is the state of mind. They come to the recognition that whatever they have is not making them happy, and therefore they want to get down to the underlying cause. But if the psychologist, for instance, would tell you that it's not necessary to have all these things, that all you need in order for a person to be happy is a certain state of mind, and this is the formula, then all these efforts are completely wasteful. They're wasteful and they're empty, and they simply don't achieve their goal. And that happens to be true. The psychologist, after all, is right. No matter what you're going to say, it's not the particular pursuit, but it's the state, the underlying state of the mind. And that's the only thing that we should try to discover. And that is, what is the cause of that underlying state? Once you understand the cause of the underlying state, then you'll only look for that underlying state. And you won't look for any of these things. You won't waste your efforts needlessly pursuing these particulars when it's not the particulars that you're after. And the question always stands very strongly, if a person is in pursuit of a particular, if he's in pursuit of recognition, if he's in pursuit of wealth, if he's in pursuit of security, whatever he's in pursuit of, you see, the question is, why is he in pursuit of that? That's the underlying question. And if he could resolve that, and if he could discover, for instance, that the reason why he's in pursuit of this is because of an internal disorder, so if he would correct that disorder, he would simply absolve himself from pursuing all these things, which are a total waste of time, and could, in reality, give him nothing, because the state, the underlying state, is not going to be changed. And that's in reality what happens. That the underlying state of discord in the soul projects to the fantasy an illusion that pursuing this particular course will resolve that inner problem. But in fact, it never really does and doesn't even get near it. It only may appease it momentarily because of a certain illusion. But in fact, it accomplishes nothing, and therefore the psychologist ultimately is right. If you went to the psychologist, he could save you a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of money, because he could show you that this thing that you're pursuing, this goal, is completely baseless. It's resulting from a discord in your soul, and if you straighten out that discord, you'll be happy. You don't need anything else. Nothing else is necessary. And basically, Shlomo Melech says that. I wonder if Sukkot Kehelet, I don't remember exactly what. But he says, Ein tov lodon ki lim lechol v'lishtos v'liros tov b'chayov. And he says that really all a person really needs is, he doesn't need much, he just needs basic things in his life and to be happy. Lechol v'lishtos, and he has his necessities, he has his things, and to be happy, and that's all he needs. So Shlomo Melech, another pasuk, expresses that idea. But over here, Chazal are relating to these generic psukim, okay? So on the one hand, now he's talking generically about happiness per se. Whatever that, obviously it's a psychological internal state. Okay. So assuming you could achieve that state, and that's the state that everybody, it would seem, wants. So he expresses himself contradictorily.